Sunday night we were listening to our brother McKinnon, and he made mention of the fact that we are priests. And tonight I propose to look at that subject. It's a very large subject. We cannot obviously cover all of it tonight, or even most of it. But we would like to look at a little background in the Old Testament and see how we get along. Let's begin in Exodus in chapter 19. Verse 21. The Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Over a few pages to Exodus in chapter 30. Beginning to read at verse 17, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, wash it all. So put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar, to minister, where an offering made by fire unto the Lord, they shall wash their feet, their hands and their feet, that they die not, shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed throughout their generation. Over to Numbers in chapter 16. And the background to this chapter is the rebellion or the gainsaying of Korah. And let's start at verse 1. Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. They rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spoke unto Korah, to all his company, saying, even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. And finally in Hebrews, and chapter 10, Hebrews in chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord will bless to us the reading of this precious word. Father, as we look into thy word once again, we do ask that our hearts and minds would be open to receive that which thou hast for us this evening. In Jesus' name. The Hebrew word for priest is Kohen. And if you meet a Jewish person whose name is Kohen, the likelihood is that that person is descended from a Levitical family. Sometimes they will call themselves Levi or Levit. But Kohen means priest. Now the root meaning of the word is one who is able to draw near. And with the idea of being able to draw near to God to offer sacrifice. One who is able to draw near. Now we were reading in Numbers chapter 15 of the gainsaying of Korah. It's interesting because in verse 5 of Numbers 15, we have listed for us three conditions that must be met for a person to be a priest. First condition is, they must be chosen of God, as was Moses and Aaron. Korah was not. The Lord will show who are his. Him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. So a priest must be someone who is chosen of God. As Hebrews says, even the Lord himself did not take this upon himself, but was made a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Secondly, as to his condition, he must be chosen of God. Secondly, as to his qualification, he must be holy. The Lord will show who are his and who is holy. And the root word, as we well know, the word holy, it means to be set apart. Someone who is set apart to doing the will of God is a holy person. So a priest must be holy. Now thirdly, as to his function, he must be able to draw near. Him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now not everyone can draw near to God. We well know that we as Gentiles, if we had been living in the day that we read of, we would not have been able to draw near. We would have been kept out. We would have been able to gaze from afar on the things which the Lord's people did. But we would not be able to draw near. And even the person of the congregation of Israel could come so far and no further. The priests were able to draw near. and the high priest, nearest of all, and the holiest of all. Now, if we were looking for how not to be a priest, we could do a little better than to look in the little epistle of Jude. Remember, Jude speaks of those that had followed in the way of Cain and gone after the error of Balaam and the gainsaying of Korah. That's interesting, because all three of these were, or attempted to be, priests. But they were not called of God. Neither were they holy. Neither were they able to draw near. The way of Cain was that his practice was wrong. Remember that Abel brought lamb for a sacrifice, but Cain brought the fruit of the field, that which he had killed with his own hand. This is not acceptable to God. He had a wrong practice. His was a religion without redemption. But without the shedding of blood, no remission of sin. Now the error of Balaam was wrong preaching. He said the wrong thing. His was a religion without responsibility. He knew what to do. He knew that Israel was holy. He knew that Israel was called of God. And yet, he encouraged the people round about in ways to deceive them and ultimately to draw some of them away from following the Lord. And the gainsaying of Korah, which we're looking at here, Korah took a wrong position. He usurped a position that he had no right to. His was a religion without revelation. The Lord had not said to Korah, go near. He took it upon himself. You know, if we compare this to the opening verse of Psalm 1, the way of Cain, we might compare to walking in the counsel of the ungodly. The error of Balaam, standing in the way of sinners. The gainsaying of Korah, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now this is how not to be. And all of these paid the price eventually for it. Now down through the years, there have been different types of priesthood spoken of in the scriptures. And the first type of priesthood that when we open the pages of scripture we find is the patriarchal priesthood. Abraham was a priest. He was priest for his entire family. And in the patriarchal age, this was how things were. The head of the house was a priest for the family. In Genesis 22, when Abraham went up on the mountain to offer up Isaac, no one really questioned the fact that he was going to offer up sacrifices, because that's what Abraham did. Abraham was the priest for the house. And that's how it was. And you entered into this by being the firstborn child. The firstborn became not only the one who inherited, but the one who inherited the right to be the priest. And when Esau sold this for a mess of pottage, when the Lord could care less that he threw away his inheritance as far as this world is concerned, but he threw away the priesthood and the Lord was angry with him for that. Threw away his priesthood, cared not to have it. So, the first type of priesthood that we see is the patriarchal, as evidenced by Abraham and so many of the other patriarchs. Now, the second type of priesthood that we see is evidenced by a man by the name of Melchizedek. Marvelous thing. Very mysterious figure who comes on the scene suddenly and leaves suddenly. Who was, the scripture said, a priest of the Most High God. Now he was not a Levitical priest, he was not even a Jew. But he was a priest of the Most High God. The reason he was not a Jew, because there weren't Jews yet. The Jews are the seed of Abraham, and Abraham was still on the scene. He was also a king. He was a king who was a priest. Now the Levites, who came later on, were not kings. They could not be kings. They could only be priests. But here was a man who is a type of the Lord Jesus, spoken of several times in the scripture, in Genesis 14, and in Psalm 110, and Hebrews 7, who had a superior priesthood. It was superior to the Levitical priesthood we know, because it says in Hebrews 7, Abraham paid tithes, and Levi, having been in the loins of Abraham at the time, paid tithes. And the lesser always paying homage to the greater. The Melchizedek priesthood is therefore superior to the Levitical priesthood. And here's the man who comes on the scene. We know nothing of his beginning. We don't know who was his father or mother. We know nothing of his end. Scripture says, made like unto the Son of God. That's the second type of priesthood. The third type was the Levitical. And in Exodus 19 and 28, we read how the priesthood was given to the Levites after that the nation had failed. Originally, it was God's purpose that the entire nation be a kingdom of priests. But the nation failed, and so it was given through the sons of Levi, sons of Aaron. You had to be born into it. If you were of the tribe of Dan or the tribe of Reuben, try as you might, you could not be a priest. You had to be a Levite. Now, the Levitical priesthood had distinct roles. First time we see in scripture where the priesthood is divided up into different kinds of roles. They did different things. Gershon and his family were the stewards of the covering. Those things that were used to cover the animal skins and all these things that were used in the tabernacle. Gershon and his family had the responsibility to care for these and to carry these through the wilderness. And when the time came to erect the tabernacle, whenever they stopped, it was their duty to hang these things. Kohath and his family were stewards of what we might call the furniture, the candlestick, the altar, and all these sorts of things. They carried them through the wilderness. They set them up whenever they would stop. And Merari were stewards of, for lack of a better term, the frame, the boards and all the things that made up the frame of the tabernacle. And then we had the high priest. Now, there was a sort of, therefore, division of labor in one thing. They had differing roles. But in another sense, there was. Because all the priests assisted with sacrifices. And all the priests received the priest's portion. Now, there were certain portions, sacrifices had to be all for God. But certain sacrifices, part was given to the Lord, and part the priest to keep for himself to eat. And all the priests received priestly portions. Although they had these other roles, they all received priestly portions. They all assisted in the sacrifice. You will find this division of labor in Numbers chapter 3. So, we have so far the patriarchal priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, and the Levitical priesthood. The patriarchal priesthood was given to the firstborn, the head of the house. The Melchizedek priesthood was a royal priesthood and a superior priesthood. The Levitical priesthood, you also had to be born into it, but it had distinct roles, distinct divisions of labor within it. Now we come to the New Testament priesthood. I'd like to turn, just for a moment, to 1 Peter and chapter 2 to read some things there. First Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying, beginning at verse 1, excuse me, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up, spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. For also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made at the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now the first thing that we notice about this New Testament priesthood, that all believers are priests. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. All believers are priests. Now there are those that wish to divide the people of God into priests and others than priests. And you'll see that many groups will put these everlasting collars around themselves and make distinctions between those that are priests and those that are supposedly not priests. Every born-again believer is a priest. And we have been born into it. In this sense, we are like the Levitical priesthood. To be a Levite, you had to be born into it. Well, to be a New Testament kind of a priest, you have to be born into it. You cannot draw nigh to God unless you've been born again. You know, there There may be some of you here tonight who have not been born again. And all I can say to you is, you cannot draw near to God unless you are born into this priesthood. Priest is one who is able to draw near. And if you want to draw near to God, you must be born again. It's also a holy priesthood. Verse 5. We are a holy priesthood able to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, the Levitical priesthood, they offered rams and goats, all kinds of other things. And in the olden days, the patriarchs did the same. No doubt Melchizedek did the same. But if we are priests, what do we offer? We don't offer rams and bullocks and all these sorts of things anymore. That time has passed. So what do we offer? Well, just turn back a couple of pages to Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, that is Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. First thing that we offer as a sacrifice to God is praise. And this used to bother me for a long while. Why would praise be considered a sacrifice? You know, because the more you do it, the more you get to enjoy it, you know. So why would praise really be considered a sacrifice? It may be, because of the perverseness of our heart. The bent, the drift of the human heart is ever toward self-praise, self-adulation. And when we praise God, we are leaving ourselves behind. In other words, to praise God, it costs us ourselves to praise him properly. Because to praise God properly, you have to know who he is. And when you see God for who he is, you see yourself for who you are. You become very small. And so we are to offer, first of all, the sacrifice, praise. Well, secondly, in verse 16 it says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So if we're to sacrifice, first of all, our praise, secondly, we are to sacrifice our person. God is pleased when we give. Now, there's all sorts of ways to do this. We can give with our tithes. We can give with our offerings. We can give in any number of ways. We can give of our time to God. But it must cost us something. Remember the story of the widow's mite? How the Lord said that she had put in all that she had. I'm not suggesting that what we should all do is rush right out and raid our bank accounts and bring it to the assembly next Sunday and put all we have in the offering plate. But what I am saying is, let's not rob God, brethren and sisters. Let's not rob God. It's our job as priests to offer up sacrifice of our person. That's part of our function as priests. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we are to present and sacrifices our praise, our purpose, and our purpose, our whole self. Now it's interesting, the word present there is in the aorist tense, which means it's a once-for-all act. In other words, there should be a time in our Christian experience when we come to the point when we say to the Lord, Lord, here I am. Take all of it. And that constant sacrifice should go on day by day. But there should come a point at which you say, Lord, I am all yours. That's what Paul is talking about here. A holy priesthood. We are also a royal priesthood, Peter says. Royal priesthood. To preach the praises of Christ. Now, here we start to see something not only of the Melchizedek priesthood, but also of the Levitical. There's all kind of ways to preach. Now, some of us can get up like I'm doing now and preach. Others won't. It doesn't mean that your service for God is any less than what I'm doing. There are those that are really well gifted and speaking one-on-one with people, leading them to the Lord. There are those that are gifted to write letters to people. There are those whom the Lord has gifted to be Sunday school teachers, to be counselors, whatever. And there are those of us who, as we go to work, preach to those whom we come in contact with, those who we work with, and those whom we serve, our customers. But however we preach, our job is royal priest, to preach. We are to preach the praises of Christ. Whatever way God has called us to do that, we are to witness. And we also, our priesthood is also similar to the Abrahamic or the patriarchal priesthood in that it's a firstborn priesthood. In Colossians 1:15, the scripture says that Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Or you can look numerous places in the New Testament and see how Paul especially was fond of saying that we are in Christ. And in Christ, we inherit. Like Esau, we inherit the right to priesthood in Christ. Let's not do like Esau. Throw it away. We need to exercise our priesthood. But our priesthood has different roles. We talked a little about some of them, you know, just in sharing the Word of God. There's a difference in the roles of men and women, for instance. In the congregation of the Lord's people, the women are to be silent. That's their passive role, and they're to wear the head covering. That's their active role. In that sense, they are like the Gershonites, stewards of the covering. Now, this is not a light thing. Not a light thing. The covering of the tabernacle were holy. They covered that which was holy. They covered the holy place, the holiest of all. Now we know, sisters, that the scripture says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that you are doing when you wear your head covering is drawing attention to the fact that there is a church that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. You are stewards of the covenant. There are different roles. Even for instance, when we come, as we did this evening, to pray, it would be very wrong to say that only the men pray when they come to our prayer meeting. I hope the sisters may pray too. I hope you do pray. You may not pray audibly. I hope you do pray. It's an exercise of your priesthood. For those of us that are male, we have the right and the privilege and the responsibility to exercise our priesthood in an audible way. We stand before God and we are to bring the praise of the assembly to God, to pray audibly to God, to speak to the people. That's our active role. Our passive role is that our head is uncovered. Now the Jews, you know, when they prayed to the Lord, they had their head covered. It really was a serious change when Paul told the Jews, don't cover your head when you're praying to God. No. That time is past. It's a different idea now. Different idea. So that our priesthood, the priesthood to which God has called us and separated us and made us holy for, and make us able to draw near, has elements within it of every other priesthood that the scriptures speak about. What an awesome privilege we have, brethren and sisters, to be a New Testament priest. The high priest of the Jews was called Kikoen HaMashiach. Kik or ha means the in Hebrew. Kohen, as we've learned, means priest. Mashiach. Well, Mashiach means Messiah, the anointed one. So the high priest of God was called, quite literally, the priest, the anointed one. Kikoen, the priest, HaMashiach, the anointed one. The anointed priest. But, he carried with him something else in the meaning of that name. Kikoen HaMashiach. The Jews look now for HaMashiach, for the Messiah, to come, the anointed one. We have a high priest, who is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who ever lives to make intercession for us, who lives in the power of an endless life, who does not, as the Levite priest did, offer sacrifices that have to be offered over and over once and again. Our priest is Kikoen HaMashiach, the priest, the anointed one. And we are in him, New Testament priest. What a high and holy calling we have to be a priest in the way that Abraham was, to be a priest in the way Melchizedek was, to be a priest in the way that the Levites were. But to be a priest, to be all these things, to be a priest in something like the way that the Lord Jesus did. What can we say to these things? As we think about these things, 3. Need not to take for granted those things that we have heard over and above, yet we know we're free. We need to be free to offer our sacrifices, our gifts, and to draw near in full assurance of faith with a pure heart, and to be the kind of priest that the Lord wishes for us to be, a kingdom of priests, a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. May it be so, for his name's sake, shall we pray. Our God and Father, how we thank thee for our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank thee that we have been born into this, thy priesthood. We thank thee for the great, marvelous privilege we have as New Testament priests. We do pray, O Lord, that you would teach us to draw near. Make us, O Lord, to be holy. We know thou hast chosen us for this work. Help us, therefore, to do what thou would have us to do, for Jesus' name's sake.